Jesus Christ, we thank you for thy word, for the Holy Spirit to teach us, and we pray that we might learn things that would be practical and helpful and instructive to us, would be productive, bring glory and honor and praise to our great God and our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We have mentioned on several occasions that Paul is writing to them to straighten out some problems that they were having there in Corinth. Some ideas that they needed to correct. And here in the sixth chapter, we've already seen a couple of 3 weeks ago that a person is not to go to court. A Christian is not to take another Christian to court. Now, he can take an unsaved person to court, but he can't take a saved person to court. And that's talking about a court of law. It's better even to take the wrong, verse 7, than to go to court before the unsaved or the unjust. Or just a law court. Just settle it out of court. If you can't, well, just let God take up the slack, and he can do it. If you don't believe it, just turn it over to him and try him and trust him sometimes. God can take care of us. He can provide for us, and he will. He not only can, but he will. Also, here in the passage this morning, he actually is going to answer three different questions. We mentioned these last time. In verse 13, he talks about the problem of food. This is the first half of the 13th verse. He talks about the problem of food, and he answers this actually in the 8th chapter and the 10th chapter. Then he talks about sex in the last part of this 13th verse, and he answers this in the beginning in the 14th verse of this chapter, and going through really the 7th, all the 7th chapter, he takes care of this problem. They did have some problems in Corinth along this line. And then they also had the problem of the resurrection. The 14th verse of this chapter talks about the resurrection. And he's going to give us the full answer for that when we get to the 15th chapter. Now, they did have some problems with resurrection. Their views on resurrection there in Corinth. Now, we a lot of times have problems with that also. If you as a Christian do not have a correct interpretation and a correct application of the resurrection, then you're never going to be effective as a Christian. If this truth does not grip your heart and your mind, you will never be effective as you should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there's no resurrection, then this life is all that we have, and this is important to us. And we will not have our life in we won't have our priorities straight. And really, this is what he's talking about here in this section of the Word of God, is priority. Where do we have our priorities, and what are we thinking about, and what is most important in our lives? Now, we can get those things all messed up and all out of focus. And when we do, then life is not going to really be like it should be, and we cannot be as happy as we should be, and we'll certainly not be productive for the Lord Jesus Christ like we should be. But if we realize that one day we are going to be resurrected, we're going to have a glorified body, there's not going to be any more pain or suffering or sadness, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to live for the rest of eternity in perfect environment, everything's going to be just exactly right, and things aren't going to go wrong. And sometimes that really bugs some of us. Some things more than others. But we realize that when we get our resurrected bodies, then everything's going to be right. Not going to be any wrong things. And not going to mess up. It's not going to be too hot on us. Not going to be too cold on us. We're not going to get hungry or thirsty or any of these things. Sometimes that really makes a big difference to us. We need to realize that we will have a resurrected body one of these days, and that we are going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's writing to these Corinthian folks to talk about these kind of things and to straighten this out. Now, we actually went through the 12th verse and the 13th verse last time, but we need to back up just a little bit to get the context. So let's look at verse 12 for just a minute. He says, all things are lawful for me. Now, when he says all things are lawful for me, he's not talking about that as a Christian we can do anything and it doesn't make any difference that everything is lawful. He's talking about all things are lawful as far as things that God has not specifically spelled out. It, as we've mentioned 2 weeks ago, it's always wrong to commit adultery. I don't care where it is or when it is or what kind of circumstances under it. It is always wrong and never is right. Always. It is always wrong to steal. It doesn't matter who it's from or what the conditions are under. It is always wrong and it is always sin to steal. Never right. You can't ever get a right out of that. It's never right to do wrong, even to get a chance to do something else is right. Two wrongs don't make a right. Now, it's always wrong. Why? The Bible says don't steal. It's just plain and clear on that. The Bible says don't covet. And it's always wrong under every circumstance to covet. I don't care where you find it and who's doing it. It is always wrong. Now, that's not the kind of things we're talking about. That's not the kind of things that Paul is mentioning here when he says all things are lawful. Now, he's talking about the law of liberty. And we have put these four laws up there for you. The law of liberty is toward yourself, which means that you can do anything that the Bible does not specifically say that is wrong. See, if it says it's wrong anywhere and everywhere. But there is another law that supersedes that law, and that is the law of love. And the law of expediency. Now, he's going to mention, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, this law here of expediency supersedes or cancels out the law of liberty. When you are doing something that is not expedient, then it's wrong. Now, when we say expedient, we're talking about an unsaved person is watching you. And even though it's perfectly all right for you to do that thing, if that unsaved person thinks it's wrong, then you do not do it. Why? Priority. You want one thing to be the issue with that unsaved person, and that is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Are you going to trust Him as your Savior, or are you not? And you don't want this other thing to even be in consideration. You don't want that to be an issue at all whatsoever. You want him to be listening to Jesus died and paid for your sin. If you'll trust him as your Savior, you won't go to hell, but you go to heaven. So this is important, is your actions before the unsaved. So you don't do anything that would hinder and harm your testimony. There's also the law of love toward the saved. There are those who are weak Christians. They are those who are babes in Christ, and they do not know the Word of God. They do not understand the principles of the Word of God. And they think certain things are wrong because maybe grandmother said it was wrong, or maybe a preacher somewhere down the line said it was wrong, or maybe somebody else said it wrong, or maybe they just thought it in their own mind that that thing is just not right. And they don't know what the Bible says, so if you're around a person and they are like that, and they are weak, and they would be offended by you doing something, and he's going to go into detail and answer these things in these verses that we got written out here for you, then you don't do it while you're around that weak Christian. And you exercise the law of love toward that Christian. Why? Because you want that Christian to grow up. And if you are offending him and you are doing things that's going to make a false issue, then he'll not listen and not a fellowship with you, associate with you, so you can help him. The big problem is we've got too many baby Christians. They're all fussing and fighting over nothing. Things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Things that are just frivolous. And couldn't really matter less. Well, Paul says, even though all things are lawful for me, all things are not expedient, all things are lawful for me, But I'm not going to be brought under the power of these things. They're not going to control my life. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's going to control my life. We know this is what Paul is talking about because he says this over and over again. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to be controlled by God, the Holy Spirit. And he mentions food here, and he's going to cover that later. He says food is for the body. Some people live to eat. Well, that's sort of foolish. You just eat to live. Sometimes we overeat to live. Not talking about that either. Food is for the body, and the body is for food, but God will destroy, render useless, both it and them. One of these days we won't have to worry about food. Oh, we didn't mention supreme sacrifice. That's toward God, and we'll talk about that later too. He says here, won't be brought under the power of either. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. He's going to talk about that in the 7th chapter here. In the beginning, in the 14th verse, really, in the 15th verse. He said, will not be, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Our bodies are what? Living sacrifices. We who know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we are to present our bodies unto Him as a living sacrifice. But fornication, this should not be named among a Christian. Now, they were having lots of trouble with this in Corinth because of their society. Their society was like our society is today. Free love, no morals as far as sex is concerned. Just drop all the barriers and do anything you want to. In fact, they had even a little step further than we had. In Platonism, they had espoused this, that in their religion, that there were two ways to destroy your body. You could really live it up. You could eat, drink, and be merry, and sex, and all this kind of thing. And if you did enough of it fast enough, it would destroy your body. And you would die, and then your soul or your inner being would be released, and you can go out into the fullness, and life would be great. Or you could go over and starve yourself to death, and you just didn't touch anything or do anything, and just went off in a hermit, just sort of pined away. And the more severe you were in this kind of idea, the quicker you'd die, and then you'd go into the pleroma either way. So you appealed to all classes that way. Those who wanted to just be real lascivious, they could go that way. Or those who wanted to be the other way, they could just go in the opposite direction, and they had everybody in there, see, and everybody would just, boy, everybody could do their thing. Well, that was their religion. That's what they did in Corinth. Paul says, no, this is not it. The body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. Notice, God, verse 14, God hath both raised up the Lord and shall also raise up us by his own power. As Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, if we die, he's going to raise us from the dead. And that is the one doctrine. That is the one teaching, that is the one thought, that if we could just get it into our minds and into our lives, and it would just permeate us, we would be absolutely and completely different. Why, if we went out the back door of this auditorium this morning with that thing in the first part of our minds, being thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and being so involved with Him and realizing that we are going to live and reign with Him 1,000 years and then for the rest of eternity, and that this right now really doesn't matter, but the only thing that really matters is seeing that people are born again and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we just turn this town upside down, no time flat. But we get wound up in the world and materialism, and the things that are right now. Why? Because we're babes. Or either we're thinking as babes. Because, you know, the little baby has to have everything now. Well, Paul says, don't you know that your body is the member of Christ? When we trusted Him as our Savior, remember, we're placed into Christ. We become a member of the body of Christ. And He's going to bring this out even more vividly and more specifically later on in this book. That Christ is the head and we are the body. And our body is to be controlled by the head. And that we are to be in His leadership. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid! Now he's talking about perversion as far as sex is concerned. Now, you remember, and this is something that the world needs to understand about sex. And that is that we're not animals. You know, our society has reduced us from man down to animal. In fact, you can go to school and you can look in your school books and they have put man in that class of animals. Well, they may be. I'm not. They say we came from monkeys. They say. They may have, but I didn't. I'm not a monkey. I may act like it sometimes. I'm not an animal. And when two people are joined together, there is a mental and there's a spiritual union here. And this is what Paul is talking about. Know ye not that the body, that your bodies are the members of Christ. You have been joined. You have been united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, he said, for two, he says, shall be one flesh. Two shall be joined together. And they become one flesh. They become one. One in what? One in spirit. They are together. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee therefore fornication. Have no part in it whatsoever. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Why? Because there is a spiritual union there when there is this relationship. A man. Now animals, it's different. Insects, that's different. But we are not animals and we are not insects. We are men. We are mankind and there is a union there. There's a spiritual union. Therefore, it's a sin against the body. Not only is this talking about physical, but it's also talking about our mental. When we leave the Lord Jesus Christ, we go out and do things that are sin against Him and rebelling against Him. We're being unfaithful and we're committing spiritual fornication. We're going out after the world or something else. We're leaving the Lord Jesus Christ and committing fornication, spiritually speaking. Jesus Christ should be the center of our life. Jesus Christ should be the person that we think about the most. Motivate our lives. Two people fall in love with each other, they can't help but think about each other. When they're not there, they can't help but miss each other. Can't help it. There's no way. Tell our spiritual tip to them. Our relationship to the Lord, how much we think about Him and how much we love Him. We've mentioned many times in this pulpit when two teenagers fall in love, they don't know how to not show it so much sometimes. They sit around looking at each other like two sick calves. like they want to eat each other up. Before long, they usually do. One way or the other. But you can sure tell it. I used to do high school work all together. I used to walk down the hall to some of the high schools and be two of them there. They'd be so in love, they'd run over if you didn't watch it because they couldn't see where they were going. They're so in love. Now, I know that's never happened to any of you. Certainly didn't happen to me but one time. But we ought to be that much in love with the Lord Jesus. We ought to be that much in love with Him. This little 18th verse, that first little phrase, should not have to be even in the Christian's vocabulary. You know, when we trust Christ our Savior, we realize that we're saved, and we can't be lost again. No way we can have to worry about going to hell ever again. We get to the thinking that, you know, well, if I'm saved and I can do as I want to, I'm at liberty. And, of course, an unsaved person is certainly in bondage to sin. And they are bound down by sin, and they are under the power of that. And once they get out from under it, they think, boy, we could just go free. Do what they want to. And every once in a while you see young folks just doing all these kind of things that here in Corinth. I've had them in my ministry do that same thing. Does that mean we're going to quit preaching grace? No. Had them, one boy I can think of particularly, and you don't, none of you know him because I've never mentioned his name. Any of you, any time, I wouldn't even dare use an illustration like this. He was saved, and he thought, well, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and it doesn't matter what I do. He used to go around and say, I don't smoke, I don't cheat, and I don't lie. But all the other things that he did. He didn't tell any lies. But man, some of the other things he did was just shocking. I just could not believe. When they told me he did those things, I said, no, not that. Not Jesus. But he did. But Paul's talking the same kind of folks. They flee this. Verse 19, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple? The word temple here is a permanent dwelling place. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside. He is inside of our bodies. And when we sin in any kind of way, and it doesn't have to be sin like we're talking about here, the three that he's mentioning here, or going to court with somebody, any sin, the Holy Spirit is inside. And you know when you are in rebellion against God, the Holy Spirit cannot stand there and let this go on without convicting and without making a person miserable and without the disciplined hand of God. That's the reason why you see so many Christians with such long faces. That's the reason why you see Christians that are more miserable than unsaved people. And that happens quite often. An unsaved person, they're only going in one direction and they only have one pull, and that's to do wrong. But here we are as Christians. We've got the Holy Spirit pulling us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor Him and to please Him. And we've got that old sin nature pulling in the other way. We feel like we're in a stretcher bearer. We think like we're in a torture rack. And life is just hard, and life is terrible, and life is miserable. Well, it will be when you're pulled in two directions. But when you start listening to the Holy Spirit and going in the right direction, then it makes a difference altogether. That's when life becomes wonderful, and that's when life becomes tremendous, is when you're just going in one direction and not both. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own? So Oh, that's a paradox. We're free and we're not our own. We're at liberty, but we're not our own. We can be happy, but we're not our own. We're slaves. Just depends on your master. You know, when Lincoln emancipated the slaves, there were a lot of them who didn't want to leave. Why? They had good masters. They had masters that really took care of them. Now, there were a lot of them who didn't and who abused the slaves and who misused them and did all kind of evil things to them. But then there were those who were so good. I'm sure they were in the minority. Sure of that. But there were those who were good. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a hard taskmaster. We mentioned Wednesday night. The Lord Jesus Christ says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Why? Because his yoke is easy. His yoke is gentle. That word easy there is the word for gentle. His yoke is a gentle yoke. It's not a hard, harsh yoke. The world has a hard, harsh yoke. Satan has a hard, harsh yoke. But Jesus' yoke is gentle. His burden is light. Why, he's doing the pulling. We're just going along with it. He pours into us the power and gives us the strength to do what he wants us to do. So, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have of God, and you're not your own. For ye have been bought with a price. And underline the next three words. Therefore what? Glorify God. And actually, I ought to be shouting this, breaking the roof. This is the thing that we need to be doing. Is not seeing how lascivious and how wicked and sinful and rebellious to God we can be and still get away with it. But we ought to be seeing how, in what ways can we glorify the Lord Jesus? How can I serve Him? How can I glorify Him? What can I do that will bring honor to His name and bring praise to Him? Rather than how far can I go and still not get completely zapped like a bolt of lightning hit me? How can I keep from being scourged of God? A little discipline, you know, I don't mind that, but the scourging, that's too much. I just want to stay just past the limit where I'll be scourged. No. We ought to glorify God in our bodies. When we do that, that's the abundance of life. These Corinthian folks, boy, they were hard up. They were in a mess. Confused. At each other's throat. Fighting, fussing, and fuming. And acting like most of the Baptist churches I know. Most Christians we know. Just at each other's throat. Rather than glorifying the Lord Jesus. Now this morning we've got some people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've been born again. They know that if they die right now, they'll go to heaven. And they want to give you a testimony of this. They're going to give you a testimony of this by being baptized. They aren't being saved by being baptized. They died right now before they get in the baptismal pool. They'll go to heaven just as big as the Apostle Paul, and they'll be there just like Jesus. Because baptism has nothing whatsoever to do with a man's salvation. Baptism is a testimony that they have been saved, and they want to give you this testimony this morning. We want you to know that. We want you to understand that. Maybe some of you have never been baptized since you've been saved. The Word of God says we're to do this. After we're saved, it's always believe and then be baptized. Never be baptized and then believe. Never is be baptized for salvation. Baptized because you are saved. It's the same thing as giving money to the Lord's work. You don't give money to the Lord's work to be saved. you give money to the Lord's work because you are saved and you love Him. You don't join a church to be saved. You join a church because you are saved. You want to unite with other Christians so you can fellowship with them and learn the Word of God and be a witness and a testimony and worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. That's why you join a church. Not to be saved. You do it because you are saved. I wasn't obedient to my mother to be in the family. I was obedient because I was in the family. That's what baptism is. It's a testimony. And they want to give you that testimony this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before they come.